You know, some of the songs we play are supposed to have static in them. It's not your radio or your iPod or your online all the time at NPR.org. It's just like a cool thing we do. So some music's supposed to have static. Not all music. Like, for instance, play the music. What? Like this music. No static there. And joining me now, a woman who spends 75% of her work life on Twitter and 75% of it working, which, and since Laura Conaway, who edits our website and blog, always gives 110%, I'm trying to figure out the extra 40% where that went, Laura.
Lunch?
Twitter, so the Venn diagram is, do you Twitter during lunch? I mean, there's some overlap there, right?
Lord, no.
Tell me about this fellow. What'd you think of the interview with Biz Stone?
Biz Stone from Twitter? I think Biz Stone is kind of in a remarkable spot, really. Where you have these, some people saying that he's going to be worth $1 billion in a year.
Biz billion. I think you'd throw that out there. Like, if the guy kind of did the back of the envelope math and said it comes out to $790 million, you definitely round up for the headline's sake.
Yeah, but then there are other headlines that say he's not going to be worth a darn thing.
Yeah, I like how he owned that. I didn't know when I asked the question if he would say, you know, how dare you say that? That I'm not going to be. He owned it. He said, yeah, that guy's right. If we don't get this right, we're not going to be worth anything. So that tells me that that's the message to the public and to his troops. It's a good message if you like Twitter.
Well, I think he seems really very cool about having that many people sort of jumping up and down on his case publicly. And I think another cool thing for me about Twitter is just that it's very overwhelming for me, and it's also very overwhelming for him. You threw in this question from this guy, Lainey's dad, who also known as Seth Bate, is a book club person, hangs around the site. And Elaney's dad wanted to know what it's like for Biz to check out the public timeline, which is where everybody's tweets appear in real time.
When Biz watches the Everyone tab, what insights into the lives of Twitter users does he gain?
I stopped watching the Everyone tab a while ago just because it got so... there was too much. But I used to look at it all the time.
Mm-hmm. By too much, you mean it was addictive or hard to actually get information?
There was just so much. There's so much in it. I haven't looked at it lately. I usually focus on the folks that I've chosen to look at.
And that's pretty frank. He doesn't look at it either.
Could we step back and just explain what you see when you go to the
Everyone's
tab?
Tweets. It's like one message after another, 140 characters from all the tens and hundreds of thousands of Twitter
does
people.
Does it go too fast to follow? Or
no, because you have to just refresh it. But it's just, it's a mishmash. I mean, you're talking about trying to count stars in the heavens. I mean,
yeah,
it's
like
incredible.
It's like that scene in Unbreakable when Bruce Willis is trying to overhear everyone in the train station.
Yeah.
It's just like that scene.
I mean,
it's
here's
exactly
the,
like that
here's
scene.
The Twitter
and then
messing.
You find out you have superpowers and an evil. Oh, I'm ruining the movie. Anyway, go ahead.
Don't give it away.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought we might play this little Twitter game today. Somebody in our tweet stream the other day said that he found $10 on the sidewalk and that meant free beer and free lunch, too. And so we started having a little fun trying to figure out where you could, in fact, what city in America could you, in fact, buy lunch and a beer for $10 in. So if you're out there and you're on Twitter and you want to find $10, Fairy Rose at Fairy Rose says $10 will get you a Bud, a burger, and fries in Omaha.
Yeah.
I don't know where else. Not New York.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for sure. You get a little mini pizza and a craft brew. I've had that there. I want to ask you one thing, because when I asked that question about the everywhere thing, I didn't really know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then I try not to ask questions I really, really, I kind of figured it out, but I try not to ask questions I really, really don't know what I'm talking about in case I'm being punked.
Yeah.
And someone asked this question. Maybe you could tell me what it means or if it's like some code for launch the missiles. Someone asked, does Twitter plan to load balance the app so it can overcome Ruby on Rails' inherent stinginess with regards to simultaneous connections? You're kind of an internet expert. Does that mean something?
It does.
Do you know
to
what
other
that
people.
Means? To you, does it mean something?
I'm not sure if it means he's trying to show off, actually.
Yeah, throw a lot of jargon in there.
I think a little bit. I think that's possible. We have switching to a non-tech thing. We're going to be doing a slideshow today. Laura Silver is putting together a segment about the Forest Service tangling with the Rainbow Family of Living Light in Wyoming. You have to see these pictures the Forest Service people have taken. Slideshow's coming.
Coming. It's the Forest Service themselves.
Yeah,
taking
yeah,
the
yeah.
Pictures.
They're documenting. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And
the Rainbow Family.
Stick around. We'll also feature conversations with a guy from the Forest Service. And I want to thank you, Laura Conaway, for editing our website, for editing our blog, for coming in and talking about said editing, for pretending to know what that Ruby Rails thing means. Check us out at npr.org/Bryant Park and twitter.com/BPP. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
And that turns out to be it for this hour of the BPP. We're always online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.